Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. When you take your child to the doctor, she or he might be pretty skilled at seeing what's wrong and figuring out what's causing the physical symptoms. But when it comes to behavioral issues, we're just beginning to learn that the causes might not always be obvious, but could instead have been caused by issues in the past.
People who work with children are starting to take toxic stress into account when it comes to helping them through a technique known as trauma-informed care. It's a subject of a wide-ranging conference today and tomorrow in Milwaukee. Lake Effect contributor Katie Kokel spoke with two people who are part of the conference. We hear first from Dr. Jim Henry, the co-founder and project director of the Children's Trauma Assessment Center in Michigan. He explains why he thinks the topic is so important.
Some of the research is clear and definitive in the last 10 years how trauma affects the development of the brain and has potential significant neurodevelopmental impact on children's functioning in terms of language, memory, cognition, relationships, ability to regulate. And so the interface with medical profession or behavioral health profession or child welfare or education in of itself is when children experience chronic trauma, or often known as complex trauma, that the response of professionals, especially adults in this field, really has to be altered to recognize that too often we've seen these children as, quote, mentally ill or behaviorally oppositional, when in reality, it's not what's wrong with them, it's what happened to them.
So how does your experience as a child welfare and protective services worker inform this work you're doing in trauma research?
So having spent 17 years in child protective services, I left child welfare after I got my PhD to really focus on understanding our kids from a trauma perspective and to really develop a trauma assessment center so that we were making life decisions about kids and we didn't really, really understand the impact of what they've experienced. And so we came together as a transdisciplinary team of medicine, social work, psychology, occupational therapy, speech and language, to create this comprehensive assessment process that really looked at multiple areas of functioning that we knew through the research that trauma could impact.
When you mentioned most of your work and as the co-founder and director of the Trauma Assessment Center for Children, that's kind of your life's work there. How is trauma in a child different from an adult facing trauma?
Well, when we're talking about a child facing trauma, that their brains, quote, aren't developed. And so they're vulnerable to long-term developmental harm. And so they don't have the resources, either A, internally, or B, just in terms of reaching normal levels of development, of cognition, executive functioning, regulation. And so the potential impact to a child is significantly greater because of their evolving development versus for adults, that the appreciation is that, you know, if adults been able to develop secure relationships and has psychological safety and is able to be successful, if an adult experiences trauma, at that point, the likelihood of recovery is great and the impact is much less than a child who is in the developing stages. The other part of this is that, especially in child welfare, is most of the trauma occurs in the very place which is to be the place of love and safety and security. And right. So that really robs and hijacks children's ability to trust others. And so if that then happens at 2 or 5 or 10 or all through those ages, then the long-term impact is going to be very significant and then can manifest in adulthood. We know now that the earlier the trauma, the more potential significant harm because of the traumatic experience get entrenched in the implicit memory, which is really about memories that are in our bodies, but we don't have language for. And so we used to think the later the trauma happened, the more impact. Now we know because of a child in that lower level of the brain functioning, the more primitive brain, when that happens early on, they don't have a way to make a connection to their experience of harm, but rather just experience it in terms of body reactions and or emotional dysregulation or challenges in being able to trust other people.
Well, exactly. And we know that the goal of the conference this week is to kind of weave all of that knowledge into medical care. And my question for you then is, who needs to know about this approach to medical care?
Well, certainly physicians, nurses, anyone in the medical field, anyone who works with kids. And this is paramount because if we view children differently and make that paradigm shift from willful disobedience to appreciating the brain-behavior connection, then as a physician, it impacts medication, it impacts treatment, it impacts how do we work with the parent of such a child. And so this has significant ramifications in being able to shift our cultural perspective that people choose between good or bad, or kids make the right choice or the wrong choice. But when your brain has been impacted by trauma, it oftentimes goes into fight, flight, freeze, which results in what we call brain flipping, where they're not able to think. They're not able to access their executive functioning, which then continually sets them up for failure in being able to not manage their emotions, which then leads to all kinds of behavioral challenges.
Of course. So going forward, what sort of changes do you hope to see in medical care and trauma research?
Our hope is that at this point that medical professionals really integrate an understanding of trauma into their care of children and their parents, asking the questions. We're really in Michigan and a couple other states trying to get physicians to use a trauma checklist that really helps them see where and how trauma could be impacting the child. And so that they're really having a language that transcends, quote, psychology or behavioral health, and everyone is looking at trauma and screening so as to be able to talk amongst ourselves as professionals or caregivers of children and saying, wow, you know, this is really about trauma, not about mental illness. This is really about trauma, not about defiance. And so when the medical profession can really integrate that as a place of certainly safety for kids and most often for parents as to treat physical illness, that we integrate the psychological harm, which we know because of the physiological changes that can happen with trauma, that it is the physician's responsibility to understand this. And then ultimately then, how does that change pharmacological intervention? What has to be different for the physician, whether they're a primary care or psychiatrist, that takes into account trauma versus a diagnostic mental illness which doesn't address the trauma. And oftentimes certain medications that treat mental illness just exacerbate the anxiety dysregulation in traumatized kids.
Jim Henry is co-founder and project director of the Children's Trauma Assessment Center, a former child welfare and protective services worker, and a professor at Western Michigan University's School of Social Work.
Paul Tough will speak at the conference on trauma-informed care as well. We've spoken with him in the past about his educational writing, and he explains to Katie Kokel why the subject of trauma-informed care resonates with him.
Well, a lot of what I wrote about in How Children Succeed and in Helping Children Succeed was about how experiences or early experiences in life, the environment that children grow up in, affect the way that they develop. And one of the big breakthroughs, I think, that neuroscientists and psychologists have made over the past couple of decades is in understanding the way that trauma and stress, especially early in a child's life, affects their development. And we now understand that the main mechanism that effect travels through is their stress response system. So when kids grow up in really stressful situations, when they experience trauma, it affects the development of this stress response system. It changes the way that they respond to anything, really, in their environment. And that has a big effect on how they do in school. So I think a lot of the movement towards trauma-informed schools and trauma-informed medical care is based in this same research, is based in this understanding that kids who grow up in those sorts of circumstances need different sorts of help in school.
So who would you consider needs to know about this approach to medical care? Why do you think it's important?
I think everyone should know about it because I think it sort of changes our thinking just as, you know, neighbors and citizens to understand better why some kids are struggling the way that they are. But I think from a practical point of view, the people who need to understand it the most are people who work in schools or in social service agencies that work directly with young people. I think pediatricians are important as well, but mostly what I write about is education. So when I think about it, I think about teachers and administrators who work in schools, especially schools in low-income neighborhoods that might have a lot of kids who have grown up in stressful or traumatic circumstances. And you know, we know that those schools are often really stressful places to be. And part of that is because of what those students are bringing to school every day, because parts of their nervous system have been affected by the experiences they've had early on. It makes it harder for them to focus, to sit still, to sit through lectures. And so they need a different kind of support and help and attention from the teachers in the building. The reality is that a lot of teachers are not trained in this research. They're not given a lot of strategies to help young people who grow up in those circumstances to succeed. And as a result, I think they often really feel at sea when they're faced with those sorts of problems in the classroom.
Right. So what would that kind of support look like in the classroom, or as this conference more specifically speaks about, in medical care?
So in the classroom, I think that it looks like sort of differentiated attention, I think, for different young people. So that they're in any school, whether it's a high-poverty or low-poverty school, there are always some kids, I think, who've had really stressful beginnings. And those kids are the ones who often, if you're the teacher, they're the ones who are the most like a handful. You know, they're just really often hard to deal with. They're stressed out. They're often confrontational. And those kids, I think, need extra attention. Sometimes they need therapy. Sometimes they need mentoring, counseling. But they need certainly a lot more understanding.
Well, and it seems like the national conversation is definitely shifting towards changing environments to kind of adapt to that. So I suppose my last question then is, what types of differences do you hope to see in childcare as well as healthcare in the upcoming years?
I think the first thing is just to have a lot more awareness so that pediatricians, for instance, are aware of the effects of trauma and what it does to children's development, and they're more they're looking out for those symptoms, and they know what kind of treatment and what kind of counseling, what kind of family support to refer families to when they see it early on. And then for teachers, I think if they're more aware as well, they can do the same thing. They can be aware of which students need extra help in the classroom and can use that knowledge to transform things, not just for those kids, but for all of the other children in the classroom. And I think if we can get that right, especially in high-poverty neighborhoods, it can really have a transformative effect on the experience that kids have growing up and especially that they have in school. And I think there are some schools where there's very little learning going on right now, and that's because really what's happening is just the effects of stress and trauma every day, that's really what kids are grappling with rather than grappling with academic material. And if we can find a way to sort of put that aside, to give teachers and students tools to deal with those psychological issues, then I think we can reorient schools to be places where kids are learning and learning the kind of information and skills that they need to succeed in the workplace and beyond.
Right. Well, and maybe even taking those strategies that they learn and understanding other people's trauma into their future.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think the one other thing I'd add is that I think it can really change people as parents as well. Mm. One thing that you see in a lot of families and a lot of neighborhoods is that this cycle of trauma and stress can persist from generation to generation. When you grow up in a really stressful situation, it's hard to deal with all of the demands of being a parent, which means that you can sort of pass on some of the same problems to your kids, and then they pass them on to their kids, and you just have these neighborhoods and these families in which stress just persists from generation to generation. But if we can interrupt that cycle and give kids in school and in adolescence And in childhood, a different way to frame and to think about and to deal with that stress and that trauma, when they go on to have kids of their own, I think they're going to be much more likely to raise kids who are not experiencing those same sorts of traumas.
Paul Tough is author of several books, including How Children Succeed and Helping Children Succeed. He'll be one of the keynote speakers at the Trauma in Our Community Conference today and tomorrow in downtown Milwaukee. You'll find a link to more information from WUWM.com. We also heard from fellow keynote speaker Jim Henry. They spoke with Katie Kokel.